House on this fine sunshiny, what a blessing, sunshiny Lord's Day. It's good to see each one who's here. We thank the Lord for each one who's here. Thankful for any of the Lord's brought our way who are visitors. Glad the Lord has been seen fit to allow you to be with us. A lot of sickness going around, so continue to remember those you notice who are absent. Families have things working through them, so remember those families. Some are here today who have been ill and are getting better. Continue to lift those up before the throne of grace. I think as far as brand new breakout, Brother Steve's out today and sick, so remember him as you go before the throne. We do have some who are away traveling. Remember those in their journeys. And we pray the Lord will get them safely back to us. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. We are having prayer bands, classes tonight, 5:30. Keep that in mind. The starting point, the text, if you would, of this series is found in 2 Timothy. We finally got around to singing that song this morning. And if you notice, the chorus of that song was in quotations, because it is a quotation of that 2 Timothy verse chapter 1 verse 12 verse. It's really what we hope you'll get burned into your minds and memory. It's really what I hope you might make it, what some would call a life verse. We need to know who. We need to know whom. We need to know him. That's Jesus. We need to know whom we have believed. We need to be persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. It's such a blessed passage of scripture. It's the thought that we need to get through the days in which we live. Christ has not yet come. A couple thousand years have come and gone, and we're still looking for him. We need to keep believing, keep looking. Keep having confidence in the fact that all those things we committed unto him when he saved our unworthy souls, he will keep us. He will keep until we're in his presence. So important for us to get a hold of that message and hold on to it till we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to have us just take the time, read the entire chapter here in 2 Corinthians 9. Chapter 8, Paul talked about the example of the Macedonians and the example of their giving. In this ninth chapter, he speaks about the Corinthians and commends them for the example that they gave in their giving. And there's so much in this eighth chapter and so much in this ninth chapter regarding giving, our giving. I would encourage you, just in passing, in your devotions and in your private times, find time for 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Let's begin reading with verse number 1 and read all 15 verses. And our text technically is really verse number 8. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you, make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. Multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Our thought this morning, along the lines of this series that we've been looking at, is very simply found there in verse number 8. He is able. He is able to make all grace abound. He is able to make grace abound. God is seen as the giver of grace, the provider of grace. We see in this passage of Scripture encouragement to rely upon him who gives grace, who gives grace abundantly, who abounds in the giving of grace to his people. God is the giver of grace. In the book of Psalms, chapter 84, just reading one verse. Psalm chapter 84, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord will give grace. The Lord will give grace and glory. In 1 Peter First Peter chapter 5. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace. As we go back to the text this morning of 2 Corinthians 9, that eighth verse says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We find 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, another one of those Paul passages. You can see the way he layers things and speaks of things in that eighth verse, that this is the inspired word of God, according to the writing and the style of the beloved Apostle Paul. You can find in this eighth verse five alls, A-L-L-S. There's five. You can find those, identify those on your own time. But he says God is able to give all grace. Psalms 84 tells us God gives grace. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he's the God of grace. And this word grace in verse number 8 of our text is the same word that you find in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's the same word. It's the same word. And we're talking about God's unmerited favor. He is able to make all grace abound. He is able to give grace. He is the God of grace. He is able to multiply unto his people his unmerited favor. This is so precious a thought, that he is able to give all grace. He's able to make grace abound, but it's particularly in the direction of his people. He's able to make all grace abound. We're not going to take anything away from the setting, nothing away from the context of this ninth chapter. But in the day and time in which we're living, we need to know and we need to be fully convinced and we need to be persuaded and we need to believe that he is able to make grace abound. The well's not drying up. God's ability to give his people grace to live in the times that we live is not diminished by the passing of time. He's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. So from the time we're saved until the time we're with the Lord, he's able to keep that which we've committed. And as we go through that time between when the Lord saved us and when we are in the presence of the Lord, how important is it for us to know he is able to make all grace abound? All grace. His unmerited favor. That's what he's speaking about here in this 8th verse. The word favor means approval, partiality, a kind act, a gift. He is able to make his showing of unmerited favor abound in the day and time in which we're living. He is able to show his approval, his partiality. He's able to administer his kind acts. He's still able to give to his people. And he never forsakes his people. He never forgets his people. He never finds himself falling short in the department of being able to make grace abound. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We think about the grace of God. The first and foremost thought that comes to our mind is we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 9. Let's read verse 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and according to his grace, he saved us. Salvation is not earned. Salvation is not deserved. Salvation is not worked for. Salvation is not something that comes to us when we prove ourselves worthy. But salvation is God's unmerited favor. Salvation is God's showing us grace and doing everything that concerns our salvation. From the choosing of us in the council halls of eternity past to the sending of Christ to the calling us by his gospel to effectually working. We're saved by grace. Not only are we saved by grace, but we serve by grace. We serve by grace. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 9 and 10. Again, from the perspective of the Apostle Paul, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, it wasn't about an ego trip with Paul. It wasn't about him thinking himself special. It wasn't about him having an exalted opinion of himself. He didn't see himself even worthy of being called an apostle. He saw himself as the least of all the apostles, because he knew he was just a sinner saved by grace. He never forgot he was a direct persecutor of God's people and a direct persecutor of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul knew everything he was, he owed to the grace of God. He gave glory to the grace of God for his salvation, for his being placed in the ministry, for his being called to be an apostle. Humanly speaking, for God to overlook his unworthiness, the degree of his sinfulness, and by grace to make him an apostle, he praised God for that grace. Never lost sight of how precious the grace of God is. I am what I am by the grace of God. If you're here and you're truly saved, you've truly experienced the new birth in Christ. Like our passage from 2 Timothy 1 should be your testimony, these words from 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10 should be your testimony. When you look in the mirror, you ought to speak these words: I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I have eternal life. I know who I have believed in. I've committed unto him many things, and he's able to keep those things, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep those things until I'm in his presence. All those things are true, but I am what I am by the grace of God. All those things that you can say you are in Christ, you can never bring glory to self. It's always because of God's grace. Whatever degree of service the Lord affords you in your time here on earth, it's not because of your worth or your deserving it, but because of grace. His grace was bestowed upon me. It was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I am the least of all apostles. I am what I am by the grace of God. That grace that was bestowed upon me was not bestowed in vain. I have labored in sight of my unworthiness. I have labored in sight of my appreciation for that grace. I have labored harder than anyone else because I see my unworthiness, because I appreciate the preciousness of grace. I labored more abundantly than they all. Does that sound like a little tinge of pride? No. Because what he says at the end of that verse: but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Would we have any trouble identifying Paul as the greatest of the apostles? Who comes close to the Apostle Paul as far as being a great apostle? Some might argue Peter. But does anybody really come close to the Apostle Paul as far as the effectiveness, as far as what he was used to do, as far as what God bestowed upon him to be in his life? With the exception of seeing Christ as an apostle, nobody comes close to the Apostle Paul. And his testimony is, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am the least of all the apostles, yet I have labored more than all of them. I have done more by the grace of God than anyone that you might want to mention. But it's not me who did it. It's the grace of God. See, we're saved by grace, for by grace ye are saved through faith. We serve by grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. However I've labored, in whatever comparison what you've done, what I've done is made concerning someone else, no glory can come to self, no glory can come to man, but by the grace of God, which is in us, laboring. We're saved by grace. We serve by grace. The third thing I want us to notice is we're sourced by grace. That's what is at the heart of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Some even say that grace is a synonym for resources in this passage of Scripture. And that's what God is speaking about. I have been brought back from getting too far in that direction. I've been brought back in considering the message and studying for the message to keep the glory and to keep the emphasis on the grace of God. Not to diminish from it by saying the word represents something else. It's the same word of salvation. It's the same word that we serve the Lord by. It is by God's grace that we have the resources to be used of God. It's because of His grace we can give. It's because of God's grace that we can be a blessing to others. We're saved by grace, we serve by grace, we are sourced by grace. Look at verse 7 and 8 again of 2 Corinthians 9. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver. Then in verse number 8, don't forget this. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let us give. God loves a giver. That's what he's saying in the 7th and 8th verse. Let us give, because God loves a giver. But he goes on to say here, let us give because God loves a giver, and God is able to give you more, that you might give more, that you might do more. Let us give. God loves a giver. God will enable us to give more. That's the grace of God. God is able to make all grace and mercy shown by you to abound the more towards you, that you might in all things have sufficiency to do more. Sufficiency unto every good work, not just limited to giving. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. By the grace of God we're able to serve. It's by the grace of God that we have the resources to be used of God. What do you have? I think it was in the Corinthian letter. Can't recall the exact place. But the question is asked, what do you have that you did not receive? Right now, look at your life. What do you have that you did not receive from God? What do you have that you can take glory to yourself concerning? What do you have that you can boast of your own abilities? Nothing. We are what we are by the grace of God. All that we have has come from Him. What do we have that we did not receive from Him? Nothing. Nothing at all. So God has given us in His grace all that we have that we might be able to give. As God has given to us in His grace that we might be able to give and be used and be a blessing to somebody, He's able to give us more. He's able to make grace abound that we can give more, that we can do more, that we may abound to every good work. He's able to make all grace abound. I thought about that thought. Let us give because God loves a giver, and God will enable us to give more. I thought about that passage from Malachi chapter 3. Let's turn back there. And I found a few other cross references we could have gone to. I didn't put in my notes, but the same thought is found here. Malachi chapter 3. Verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see that message? In that 10th verse that you see in our text passage. I'm sure you see in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians and other places of Scripture that could be gone to. He calls them to bring their tithes and offerings into the storehouse. He calls them to give. He calls them to give and put God to the test. give and prove me now herewith. Give and put me to the test and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there not be room enough to receive it. See, it's the same principle. We're able to give because God has blessed us. We're able to do because of God's grace. And if by God's grace we will give, He's going to pour us out a blessing that will enable us to give more, to do more. And we'll not be able to handle it. It's going to be such a great blessing. And don't focus this message just in on dollar bills. We're talking about all kinds of giving for the honor and glory of the Lord. The only reason you can give, the only reason you can do anything for the Lord that's pleasing to the Lord is because of His grace. And as you give and you do whatever it is you do by His grace for the honor and glory of the Lord, He's going to give you that much more grace. He's going to make grace abound. And where does it stop? Give, because God loves a giver. Give and He'll give you the ability to give more. Give more, and He's going to cause grace to abound. In the third chapter of Malachi, verse 10, there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of us, in really looking at our lives, can say we're busting out? There's not room enough to receive all the graces of God. Well, it's not because He's not able. Not because He's not able to make all grace abound. If we have given and done that which by His grace He's enabled us to do, He has committed Himself, He has promised to give us more, that we might be able to do more. And the only problem that can arise in the armor of that theory is us. He is able to make all grace abound. God is able, I want to repeat this quote, God is able to make all grace and mercy shown by us. He is able to make it abound toward us, back in our direction, that we may have all sufficiency to do more, to do good works. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against the day that I see Him, and that day is soon. Is that your testimony? As you live your life between you're coming into that relationship with Him and you're believing Him and being saved. But you live this time as you look for the coming of Jesus Christ. Do you believe He is able to make all grace abound? What kind of grace do you stand in need of this morning? Do you believe He's able? Do you acknowledge the grace of God in your life? Do you give Him honor and glory for the grace that is so displayed in your life? Do you acknowledge that your ability to give, your ability to do, your ability to serve, whatever it might be, is all because of His grace? Do you acknowledge that the increase in your ability to do more, you're being faithful to do more? Are you able to say it's by the grace of God I'm doing more? Do you believe God is able to make all grace abound? to live the life he wants us to live, and it's the life of victory and conquering, we've got to believe he's able. Let's stand. Have a verse of song. Close our service.